Stephanie, thank you very much for reading that. And we come to the last in our current series, looking at this Old Testament book of Zechariah, to the final vision. And you'll find on the tables in front of you, there's an outline. It looks something like this. And it's got just a few points to help us as we look together at this part of the Bible. Why don't I lead us in a prayer and asking for God's help to enable us to understand his word this evening. Father, thank you for the fact that you are a speaking God. We don't have to guess and speculate about either who you are or what you're like or what it is you want to communicate to us, that we can know all of that about you and from you because you are a speaking God who has revealed himself. And Father, we thank you simply for the blessing of that, that you are a God who longs to communicate, who has communicated with his creatures. And we pray that as we look at this part of your revelation, these words from Zechariah chapter 4, you'd help us, these words that seem strange and distant to us, that you would enable us to understand them and to live in the light of the truth and wisdom that they give us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 12 days ago, you'll remember no doubt, the House of Commons voted on proposal of the government to redefine marriage in this country so as to include couples of the same sex. The bill was passed with a very large majority in the House of Commons, a majority of 225. Such a large majority means that very likely it will pass into law by the summer of next year, once it's worked its way through Parliament. The much-vaunted quadruple lock that excludes the Church of England, of which St. Peter's is a part, from conducting same-sex marriages in its churches, will very likely be challenged in the European Court of Human Rights and will most likely fail. Indeed, there are many within the Church of England who would like to see it fail, who think it shouldn't be locked out of the Church of England. What that means is that before very long, maybe 5 years, maybe 10, all ministers in this denomination, the Church of England, will be required, as part of their job description, to conduct same-sex marriages. But it's not just vicars whose role will change as a result of this legislation. Teachers in schools will be expected to teach marriage as marriage, regardless of the genders of the people in those marriages. Doctors and healthcare professionals will have to treat all marriages equally, even though some marriages will have significantly greater health risks attached to them than others. Christians who want their faith and life to be shaped by the Bible, by God's word, will find it harder and harder to express their faith publicly and to keep their jobs as Christians who want to live according to God's word, as the Christian faith in this country is increasingly squeezed and redefined to fit life in modern Britain. As you look on to the next 5 years, the next 10 years ahead, and you consider the way the Christian faith is being repackaged, I think it's quite easy to become discouraged and maybe disillusioned as a Christian. How are we going to survive as Christians who want to hold on to the Bible? And not just survive, because who wants to just survive as anything? But how are we going to thrive and flourish? And how are we going to keep on holding out the good news of Jesus Christ to those in our communities? How are we going to do that rather than just simply pull up the drawbridge and hunker down and wait for things to get worse and worse and worse? Well, if, like me, you found yourself somewhat dismayed and discouraged these past few days by the vote in the House of Commons and maybe the implications of that for your life as a Christian, then we need to hear this evening this last vision from a series of 8 visions that we've been looking at in the Old Testament book of Zechariah. Now, admittedly, it doesn't sound like what we need to hear to encourage us to keep living as Christians. But I do believe that that is exactly why this is in the Bible, to encourage us and to keep us living for Jesus Christ and trusting in him and holding out the gospel to everyone who is yet to understand that or believe it for themselves. Now, you can see from the outline that the first take-home message of this chapter, point one on the outline, is Zerubbabel will build the temple in Jerusalem. Zerubbabel will build the temple in Jerusalem. Now, immediately, I'm sure you can see the clear relevance and encouragement of that to your life. You're just bursting with enthusiasm for the fact that Zerubbabel will build the temple. Well, let's have a look. How does that in any way have anything to do with us? Turn with me to verse 7 of Zechariah chapter 4. It's on page 952 in the Bible. Verse 7. Through the prophet Zechariah, God says this: "What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, 'God bless it, God bless it.' Then the word of the Lord came to me: 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you.'" Well, I don't know if you know, but at the time that Zechariah is speaking, Zerubbabel was the leader of God's people. He wasn't a king, because Jerusalem and all of the people who got it at this time were part of the Persian Empire. So Zerubbabel had been appointed by the Persian authorities to be the governor of this part of their empire, the province of Judah. He was in charge of the province. He was in charge of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem that had been destroyed previously by the Babylonians. And having laid the foundations, as we hear in verse 9, he, according to this prophecy, will finish the building of the temple by adding the capstone. That was the very last stone that would have been part of the building, the kind of the bit at the top that says this building is finished. And we have something very similar today. If you're involved in the construction industry or a builder, you will know this well. This is the topping out ceremony that you have in building, particularly a significant landmark building. When it's built, all the people who've been involved in that, particularly all the dignitaries, appear. And right at the top of the building, they have a topping out ceremony. The final stone is put into place. And we've got a picture of our illustrious mayor, Boris Johnson. There he is in his high-vis jacket and a hard hat. And he's even got a pair of goggles. And he's looking like he's having the time of his life at this particular topping out ceremony with, it looks like Siemens. I don't know if they're the constructors or it's their head office. Looks like it's somewhere near Canary Wharf by the skyline behind him. Topping out ceremony to say, it's all built, it's finished, we can celebrate. And that's really what God is promising in Zechariah chapter 4. He's saying, Zerubbabel, your leader who's in charge of rebuilding the temple, the one who got the foundations laid, he, and you will see him at a topping out ceremony, completing the job, finishing the temple. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, well, what is so extraordinary about that? I mean, do we really need a prophecy from God to say the guy who began building the temple is the guy who's going to finish the temple? I mean, isn't that what you would expect? If you don't launch out on a building project unless you see it through to the end. Why is that something that everyone's going to get excited about and say, God bless it, God bless it? Well, what you need to know, if that doesn't sound particularly encouraging to you, is to know that these foundations that Zerubbabel laid on the temple that are mentioned in verse 9 were laid by him 17 years before this particular prophecy was given. After he laid the foundations, all work on the temple stopped. And they stopped for two connected reasons. The first is because there was a popular and influential groundswell of public opinion that simply objected to the building of the temple. Many people decided that they'd be better off without a temple in Jerusalem. they were effectively deciding that they would be better off without God in their community. And they campaigned hard and vigorously to get the work stopped. And they were particularly effective at political lobbying in seeing their ends reached. And that resulted in the second thing that stopped the temple, an official government proclamation, official government prohibition that was issued. Initially, the Persian authorities had been all in favour of rebuilding the temple. But due to this lobbying, that permission was withdrawn. And it became official government policy, no temple to be built in Jerusalem. And so for 17 years, the temple site had been an abandoned building site, just the foundations and then nothing else. And into that sort of opposition and frustration and discouragement, God speaks these words in Zechariah chapter 4 through the prophet Zechariah. Zerubbabel will build the temple. He will finish what he began 17 years ago. The mighty mountain of opposition that is facing him will, verse 7, become level ground. All that lobbying and obstruction will be simply swept away. And you will see Zerubbabel will bring out the capstone with his own hands, and you'll shout for joy, and everyone will get very, very excited at the topping out ceremony. Verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel that have laid the foundation of this temple, his hands will also complete it. This is it's a mastermind moment. I don't know if you know that television quiz show. It used to be chaired by Magnus Magnusson, the most famous Icelandic man in this country. But it's now chaired by John Humphreys. And when he's asking the question to the contestant in the black chair, you know, with the spotlight on it, and that question is interrupted by the buzzer, he always says, I've started, so I'll finish. And that's what God is saying here about Zerubbabel. He started, so he's going to finish. He started 17 years ago, but he will finish. And, you know, just 4 years after this prophecy was given, that's exactly what happened. The temple was built from the foundations all the way up to the capstone in 4 years flat. Now, there's an obvious encouragement to people who first heard this. You can realize how long they've waited, how frustrating it's been not being able to do the work on the temple, not being able to get on with the task that God has asked them to be involved in as his people. But how in any way is that encouraging to us today? Zerubbabel will build the temple. See, we don't have a temple. But we do have something else to build. And in fact, it would be true to say that there is a groundswell of popular opinion that through effective political lobbying is leading to increasing official constraints, though not yet outright prohibition. What we're called to be involved in building as Christians is not a building at all, it's a kingdom. God's kingdom here on earth. And that is something that is becoming increasingly contentious. Not something that people accept at all. It's becoming increasingly unpopular. Something that is becoming pushed to the margins and airbrushed out of society. It's not so much that Christians have been stopped and frustrated in building God's kingdom here for the last 17 years. But if you look forward 17 years from now, what will things look like? As we seek to live as Christians, as we seek to express our faith as Christians, as we simply want to hold out the good news of Jesus Christ to those who don't yet know that for themselves. What will that look like in 17 years' time, trying to build God's kingdom? Listen to these words from the New Testament that I think express the same encouragement that we find here in Zechariah chapter 4, that the kingdom will be built. Jesus is talking to one of his disciples. He's talking to Peter. He says this. The words are up on the screen. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Jesus will build his church on earth. And there's nothing, there's no opposition, There's no social disapproval, there's no effective political lobbying that will overcome what he is building. Listen to these words. They're again on the screen. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Christians in a place called Philippi in Greece. And he says this to them about their Christian faith. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See what he's saying? If Christ Jesus has begun that building work in you, he has laid a foundation stone in your life, then he will see that through to the end. He will finish what he has started in your life. You can be confident of that, says the Apostle Paul. He won't let that go unfinished. And what is true of every individual Christian is true of the whole church, all Christians together. It's true of the whole of God's kingdom. It has been started by Jesus Christ, laying the foundations in his death on the cross for us. And nothing will be successful now in opposing that, in thwarting that, what he's building. He will finish the job. He started, so he'll finish. One day, there will be a universal topping out ceremony. And it won't be Zerubbabel, the Persian-appointed governor, who we see with the capstone, the final piece in his hands. It will be Jesus Christ, the God-anointed King of God's kingdom, completing the work that he began in his death. And everyone on that day who belongs to that kingdom, who has been built into that kingdom, will rejoice and shout. That'll be a fantastic day to be a part of God's kingdom. God bless it. God bless it, we'll say, as we see Jesus Christ putting the finishing touches to the work that he began. So Zerubbabel will build the temple. It doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? But what it means for us as Christians is that Jesus Christ will build his kingdom and use us to get that job done. It's great to hear. It's an encouragement to us to hear. But if that's the message God wants us to get from Zechariah chapter 4, the question then is, how's he going to do it? How will that happen? How will Zerubbabel build the temple? How will Jesus Christ build his kingdom so that nothing and no one can overcome it? Well, the answer to that question is in verse 6. This is the second point on the outline that you've got in your hands. And this is a very well-known verse in the Bible. This might be a verse that you find yourself thinking, oh, that's where it comes from. No wonder I've never found it. It's in Zechariah chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. So he said to me, God said to Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That's how Zerubbabel is going to build the temple. That's how Jesus Christ is going to build his kingdom, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. See, the temple that Zerubbabel was building in Jerusalem was a rebuild. The one that was originally built there by a man called King Solomon was a fantastic, glorious, splendid building. King Solomon was the wealthiest king Israel had ever had. He had untold riches at his disposal. All sorts of gold and silver and wood and cut stone. And everyone at that time thought that building a temple in Jerusalem was a brilliant idea. Everyone was completely up for it. And they gave very generously and everyone worked really, really hard. They were united and of one mind. But this time round, it couldn't be more different. Zerubbabel isn't a king. He's just a government employee. He hasn't got very many resources, very limited in fact. And a lot of the people think that what he's doing is wrong anyway. He shouldn't be building a temple. It's a waste of time. It's irrelevant. It's the wrong thing. It's so yesterday. It's so King Solomon. There's official sanction, indeed, against what he's doing. And God is saying through Zechariah, you know what? None of that matters. None of that matters because that is not how I get things done. That is not how I do my work here on earth. Not by might. Not by unbelievable financial resources, not by ingenuity, but by my spirit. It's the same way that Jesus seeks to build his kingdom today. even here in this place, in this church. I mean, look at us. Talk about limited resources. Talk about unimpressive. I mean, just take a look around. It won't take long. You could do a head count in about 10 seconds. Think of how small we are. Think of the task that we've been charged with as Christians in this part of London of reaching our local community with the good news of Jesus Christ. Letting people know that he loves them, that he died for them, that he forgives them. With the resources that we've got. Think of the increasing opposition to that. How that is increasingly an unpopular thing to be doing. An unacceptable thing to be doing. Think of all the problems that we face. And then have a look again at verse 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. That is how Jesus Christ will build his kingdom here on earth. That's what he's doing right here this evening. That's why this church is growing all the time. Small though we are, growing all the time. That's why this church is somewhere that new people all the time are discovering for themselves the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why the gates of hell will not overcome what is being built here. Jesus Christ is building his kingdom by his Spirit. And that is why it will succeed and not fail. Zerubbabel will build the temple, and it'll be by God's Spirit that he'll do that. So thirdly, says God, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. That's the third thing on your outline. Have a look with me at verse 10 of Zechariah chapter 4. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, the temple that Zerubbabel was building was, as I said, much, much smaller than the one that it was replacing, the one built by King Solomon. And those who could remember King Solomon's temple, it was within a lifetime that it was being rebuilt. On the day, 17 years from then, that Zerubbabel finished it and they had the opening ceremony, instead of rejoicing, a number of them wept with embarrassment and shame. It was like comparing Buckingham Palace to the shed at the bottom of your garden. And they remembered the old temple in all its splendor and all its glory. And they looked at the tin pot shed that Zerubbabel had put up. Well, God says to them, don't despise this small temple that looks more like a garden shed when I myself am rejoicing in seeing it built. The imagery that's used there in verse 10, the seven eyes ranging throughout the earth, it's a wonderful picture, isn't it? In the Bible, the number seven very often is used as a perfect number, sort of a number of completeness. And I think that's what's being intended here. God is saying, I see everything. I see everything everywhere in the whole world. And you can't get a bigger context than that, can you? A bigger perspective than seeing everything everywhere. And he's saying, out of everything that's happening everywhere in the world, this is what I'm rejoicing in right now. This tiny little tin pot temple in this corner of Jerusalem. Insignificant, unimpressive, underwhelming, hugely underwhelming. It's the same today. God sees everything, everywhere today. Everything that's happening in the world, in our country, in this city of millions of people. He sees everything that's happening at this moment in Fulham, this corner of this city. And do you know what gives him the most joy as he sees everything with ultimate perspective? This. Us. What we're doing right now. Not us, as opposed to other churches that are doing something very similar to us, but us here, unimpressive, underwhelming, insignificant us. God is rejoicing in us, because in us he recognizes his own handiwork. He sees something that bears the hallmark of what he's building. God is rejoicing in what he is building here. So who are we to despair in it? Who are we to despise it or be discouraged by it? Just think for a moment. If you or I could see the way God sees, you know, if in an instant we could see everything everywhere, apart from it blowing our minds, do you think we would even notice something like this? Would it stand out if we could see everything everywhere? Well, God not only notices it, he rejoices in it. He singles it out as a source of joy. And it's not just us here. It's every Bible teaching, every gospel proclaiming church in every corner of London, of this city, in every corner of this world that he sees and that he notices and that he rejoices in. Even when everyone else doesn't even know we're here. If God rejoices in the kingdom that his son is building all over the world, then who are we to despise it? Or despair in it? Or to give up on it? Zerubbabel will build his temple. Doesn't sound very encouraging, but it is. Because it means for us that Jesus Christ will build his kingdom. Not by might, not by power, not by untold financial resources, but by his spirit. So don't despise it for being small. Don't despair in it for looking weak. But rather rejoice in it, because that's what God is doing. You see, if the future of the Christian faith, either in this country or the world or in our own lives, depended on us, on our power, on our faith, on our ingenuity, on our resources, then friends, we would have every reason to despair. We might as well truly just pack up now, because we're never going to keep this going. But you know, it doesn't depend on us at all. This is something he's building. And so we won't despair. The gates of hell will not overcome what Jesus Christ is building here. Powerful political lobbying at Westminster, which is all going one direction, will not overcome what Jesus Christ is building here. Official government prescription and prohibition in time will not overcome what Jesus Christ is building. Nor will our lack of faith or our weakness or our lack of courage as Christians. What he has begun, he will see through to completion. He will get the job done. Here in this church and in your life and in my life, if he's laid that foundation stone of faith in him in your heart, then that is a job that he will see all the way through to that topping out ceremony. Because of that, because of him, we can keep going, keep building. Well, let's take some moments to reflect on Zechariah chapter 4, this vision, the encouragement that Zerubbabel will build the temple and what that means for us in our lives today as Christians. Let's take a few moments of quiet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement that what you begin, what your Son Jesus Christ has begun, he will finish. And that for those of us who have faith in him, we're caught up in that. We are part of his great building enterprise, his great building project that will be completed, that will overcome all obstacles. Father, we're tempted when we look around and we see the mighty mountain that stands in our way. We confess it's very easy to be discouraged and overwhelmed, to be underwhelmed by what you're doing and overwhelmed by the mighty mountain that stands against us. Please would you reverse that in our hearts and in our minds. Please would you build confidence in the power of your Spirit to get the job done. And in that would we rejoice with you in your work here on earth.